Not how you start, but it's how you finish. And that, you know, those words really sum it up when it comes down to really understanding covenant. We still here in the sixth chapter talking about governing. Principle number one, honoring covenant, relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. And we said that every breakthrough believer in the apostolic base must be trained to honor the bonds of covenant that exists within relationships ordained and joined by God. We also said that those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy will reject any loyalty, commitment, and integrity in any long-term relationship. Some people just want something, that, you know, they want to connect for their own advantages, and when they think they've got it, you know, it's almost like, you know, the person who has the picture, and then those who are being trained having the glass, and the person who is teaching or who is mentoring, who's fathering, they're pouring into us, and we get about that much in the glass and think we got it. We got a whole glass, you know, that can be filled up. We get a little bit and think we got it. Yes, sir. And then we take off like we have something, and it don't last because we didn't stay there to get the whole glass full. Yes, sir. We also said that covenant is based on love and loyalty. That's what covenant is based on. And now, let me tell you something about both of these things. Love has to be, it has to come from God. It has to be the agape kind of love. Otherwise, it's going to be conditioned. It's going to be based on performance and not on, you know, the agape of God. And so then there's loyalty. Loyalty is something that God put in every one of us, because the only way we can really serve God is through our loyalty to Him. You with me? But the thing about it is, I think that because we've gone through so many relationships with other people and people have done us wrong and stuff, till we hold back loyalty just like we hold back love. See, I mean, it's in you. God put it in you. The God kind of love is in you, but you don't really display it because you've been hurt by people and stuff. And so same way with loyalty. You don't want to give your loyalty to anybody because somebody has walked on you before and somebody has took advantage of you before. So, you know, you're not willing to give, but God put it in you. And so, and now loyalty can't be coerced. I can't try to push you to walk in loyalty, because you won't be a counterfeit, right, if you do it because I tried to coerce you. Yes, you with me? Right, yeah, you won't be a counterfeit. You'll be putting on for other people to see, but you really don't have it. Yes, right. You with me? Yes, and see, and if we don't understand, we really don't have an understanding of covenant, then we're not going to really be true to God. We're not going to be true to ministry, the person who we call to follow, the people that's around us, that the person that we're following, that's always, to get the job done, that always is a team. You with me? And so we have to be loyal to the team also, because, okay, watch this. That's just like if apostle, God has given apostle an assignment, and so he has a team around him. And so if there's certain people on the team that I don't like, and then I don't want to work with them, well, then guess what? I'm going to hinder the work being done. I have to know the importance of covenant, because this has nothing to do with whether I like the person or not. It has to do with the assignment that God has given the person he's called me to follow. You with me? And so he put me in covenant with this person. So whoever this person brings in, I have to embrace them and get the job done. Y'all with me? So we must give value to all God-ordained relationship, whether it's between Christian or otherwise. There are no two standards for relationships. In fact, the relationship between Christians should go beyond the basic righteousness of man and operate on divine principles. We must take it to the next level. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we said, another thing we said was that God is a God of covenant, and all his dealing with mankind has been on the basis of covenant. I mean, whenever God got ready to get ready to do something in the earth, God always cut a covenant with man so that the man can carry out what God has proposed to him. So now when it comes down to two covenant God, the reason why he cut covenant with man is because God need is really getting man in a position so that what he's given him to do can be carried on to the next generation. See, the purpose and the plan of God, they don't change. Like, you know, man change. One day he won't do something today, and the next day he won't do something else. You know, God's plan are eternal. Once God has established his plan, then, you know, the people that's around, we have to understand how covenant operates so that we can be a major part of getting the job done. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. All right, so every promise in the Bible and every requirement of believers is based on the grounds of covenant. God said, I got to have somebody I can trust. Now, it's not enough to say that God is trustworthy or God can be trusted. That's not enough to say. We have to prove ourselves to God whether or not we're trustworthy. Yes, sir. Whether we're going to start the journey and then stop when things get difficult, or we going to keep on carrying things out no matter what. See, the early church went through things. It's still on? Yeah. Okay. When the early church went through things, they didn't just stop when it was a little trouble that was going on. You know, there was times when the Apostle Paul, they tried to kill him, and they had to be let down on the side of a wall in a basket, and that kind of stuff. They tried to, you know, other disciples and stuff, they were bald and hot oil and all kind of things. But once you understand covenant, nothing will stop you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. In the face of all kind of adversity and that kind of thing and stuff, nothing is going to stop you. So in covenant living with God, he is bound to honor his words, and we are duty bound to maintain our part of the covenant. So God's word is full of promises, but we must do our part so that the promises become covenant. All right. God, he invited Abraham, all right, to enter into the covenant with him. So God promised Abraham that the covenant would never be nullified, even if Abraham died, thus reinforcing the covenant through Abraham's descendants. So God took personal responsibility to fulfill every word of promise, even after Abraham's death. Because look at Genesis 15 and verse 13, starting at verse 13. Genesis 15. So it said, and God said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And then he go on, he said, and also that nation whom they will serve, I will judge, and afterward shall they come out with great sustenance. So see, God had cut a covenant. God had told him, Abraham, that this is what's going to happen. How many know when God give us a promise, God's going to take care of his end? Yes, he's going to do what he said. So he said, and thou shall go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. All right. So in establishing an understanding among the believers of the power of a covenant with God. So we're laying a strong foundation for other wholesome relationship within the house. All right. So. Once we understand the covenant, so there's a foundation that's laid. Now we can understand that everybody that's working with us, we have the same love, we have the same loyalty that we have so that we can accomplish the thing that we need to accomplish. All right. So let's just say somebody have a disagreement about something. Well, the thing about it is you got to get beyond the disagreement, because the whole focus got to be on the assignment. What's apostles' assignment? What God has called them to do? So that's what our assignment is. So this little petty stuff, we got to get past that. And all that has to do with growing up and maturing, that kind of thing and stuff. So we said that the beneficiary of any covenant relationship is the next generation. And that's what God, this is what God is always trying to do. God is trying to produce that next generation, have them understand, because of the generation before them, they have to be strong people who carry this thing out in a way so when the younger generation begin to see them, they see people that's not playing church. They see folk, you know, who serious about the things of God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I want to say this again. Okay, when it comes down to anything with God, God always give you, you have a will. You can do whatever you want to do. Right. And let's just say, you know, God asks us to do a certain thing. Now, it's up to you whether you do it. Just like, you know, I understand now, you know, as a pastor, I understand now why, you know, there's folk who come to your church and they go. I understand why, because a lot of people, because of past things that have happened in their past, churches that they've been to before, they've had bad experiences. And so a lot of times, they have not really made a decision in their soul to really follow because of the wound that's in there from the last situation they came out of. And if that wound is not healed, they're not going to really be productive if they are somewhere else now. You with me? So I understand a whole lot better now why people, you know, that's kind of, you know, flaky. You know, come. I've had people tell me, say, Pastor, I'm with you 100. And all of a sudden, I didn't see them no more. I say, my God, praise the Lord. I hate to see if you were with me 10. if you gone this quick, you were with me 100. You know what I'm saying? But it's because. Let me say this. Let me slow down and say this. This apostolic that we're learning about, that's being taught, that apostle is teaching us, when the apostle first started teaching this, he said that, you know, he didn't know anything about what an apostle was. Neither did I. I saw it in the Bible, but as far as operating in the apostolic and that kind of thing and stuff, I didn't know how the function go or nothing like that. So because apostle is who he is, he went to digging. He went to searching and finding out if God has called me to do this, then I need to know how to walk in this thing effectively so that I can make an impact on the life of the people who God put in my life to help me to accomplish the thing that I'm supposed to accomplish. So I began to start seeing it now, because we had not seen this before. So now this apostolic calls for a level of maturity that a lot of people are not walking in yet. Yes, are y'all with me here? Yes, and so because they're not walking in it, this level of maturity, they think that because, just like we do a lot of traveling with apostle and that sort of thing and stuff. But the thing about it is, I don't do this because apostle has put pressure on me to do it or put some kind of demand on me to do it. I do this out of my own free will. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm called of God to follow. You with me? So he don't have to keep checking on me to see if I'm still following. Because God, this is an assignment that God has given me. So this is what I'm trying to point out to you, that because a lot of people have not seen this before, And you have to be careful. You have to be real careful because people are trying to pull you off when they see your commitment. They say, y'all just following that man. Y'all just crazy. Y'all want to be. Y'all just giving y'all money. And they have no idea what's happening to our life. They have no idea of how God is increasing us and that sort of thing. You know, I'm only saying this for teaching purposes. All right. You know, I'm preaching Sunday before last, and a man gave me an envelope. And I opened the envelope. The envelope got $10,000 in it. At what church do you go at where the preacher is preaching and somebody give him $10,000 beside Word of Life? So can't nobody say that it's just happening for apostle. It's happening for people who are really connected to apostle also. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not, you know, that was 6 months or a little more back when somebody gave me $50,000. How in the world does something like this happen? This happened through connection. But people are not willing to go the long haul. It's not, see, sonship is a journey. It's not some event. And God said it like that. You have to go and go, even when it look like ain't nothing working. Because you got to be tested to see if you can be trustworthy with what God is trying to put in your life, what God is trying to what apostle is trying to pour into your life. Because your life going somewhere if you just don't let nobody talk you out of it. You don't let nobody tell you, you know, this is just too much. They're just asking too much of us. No. I'm willing to stretch. I'm willing to go the long haul. Because I know that God, what God has promised, God got to bring it to pass. Because God is the God of covenant, and what God has established in his word, guess what? He's gonna definitely bring it to pass. So when we live within the contract of covenant, we can tap into the abundance of God's provision, protection, and favor. Y'all with me? When we live within the contract of covenant, we can tap into the abundance of God's provision. And see, that's what I'm talking about. We can see when God really know that you've sold out to him, when he really knows that, you know, can't nobody get your ear, when he really knows that, you know, when it comes down to it, you'll walk away from everybody to fulfill his will. I'm telling you now, there's nothing that God will withhold from you. Nothing that God would withhold from you. But sometimes I'm telling you, saints of God, when the Bible talks about Satan, how with these fiery darts, I mean, these missiles, he sending these missiles at you. You understand what I'm saying? Soon as you make a commitment to do something, and he said, just look how stupid you look. Just look at you. They just make. I was following years ago when I first got saved. The Lord used three different pastors to train me to follow apostle. Three different pastors. And guess what? Neither one of them did I just walk out on. Right. Each one of them, God spoke to them, told me it was time for me to go. I got released from all of them. You with me? And then the third one, he turned the church over to me. You know what I'm saying? And so, but all this was to teach me how to properly. I was wondering, man, how in the world God was going to fit all this in, what he was teaching me. You with me? I was wondering how he going to fit all this in. And people looking at me crazy because, you know, I was submitted and I was committed and I was loyal, and people just looked at me like I was strange, and they tried to make me feel like I was wrong by how I felt. Why you shouldn't feel about, you know, no man like, man, please, this is God's order. This is how God set it up. That's why God did it like this, so that because it's going to involve your will. It's going to involve your emotions. It's going to involve your conscience. It's going to involve your soul. And so you got a choice whether to follow God, plan, and his plan is to follow man or woman. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not ruling women out. So y'all don't trip on me. So there are blessings we cannot receive until we are part of God's covenant. Even faith allows us to find access into the partial benefits of this covenant. It is a covenanted life that gives us the full privilege as sons and daughters of the covenant. Oh, my goodness. So there are many who operate in faith and have tapped into the blessings of the covenant. But they are merely receiving the crumb that falls from the master's table. In essence, they're living a dog's life. See, because why? Because let's look at that in Matthew 15, 26. Oh, Lord. Matthew 15:26 says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. You know, this woman was crying out, you know, wanted the Lord to heal her daughter. And so, you know, Jesus said he was just called to the house of Israel. So he said, but he answered, the lady just wanted some help for her daughter. You with me? And so he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast a dog. And she said, true. That way, say, what she was really saying, roo, roo. She said, you're right. You know, if you want to call me a dog, I'll be that. Yeah. I just came here for the healing. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. This is what I want you to see. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Now, watch this. So faith can get you partial benefits. So if faith can get you partial benefits, wow, faith can get you the crumb that falls from the table. Mm-hmm. But covenant can get you a loaf of bread on the table. Yes, the whole loaf. You with me? Not the crumbs. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? So it is. So even my faith has to be based on the covenant. Yes, if my faith is not based on the covenant, I still can't receive. So if we choose to walk in covenant, we can partake of the bread of the master's table and live like sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Then he states that there are blessings of the Father and blessings of God. There's something. The blessing of the Father and the blessing of God. Because, you know, the Bible really says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. Now, he's God. He's God to all creation. But he's the father of those who received him. Y'all with me? Yes, sir. All right. So the blessing of God are seen, you know, when we see this. Look at it. The blessings of the Father are only observed for his sons, are reserved for his sons and daughters, and they will receive all that he's gathering for them. All that he has. Look at Luke 15:31. This was the son. This was the prodigal's brother. He already in the house and stuff. He talking about, you know, he didn't get all this. He didn't get all that and stuff. Look what the father said. And he said unto the son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Everything I got already yours. Why you tripping? It already belonged to you. And then in Genesis, 25th chapter, verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he lived eastward unto the east country. So because Isaac was the promised son, Isaac was the covenant son, Isaac, everything Abraham had belonged to Isaac. But, you know, Ishmael, he gave them gifts. You with me? So it's a difference between somebody who a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God becomes your father. Yes, sir. And so you're in covenant with him. He becomes obligated to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And he's given us the so many precious promises. And so once we understand covenant, we walk in all that God has called us to walk in. See, that's why the scripture says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things going to be added to you. I mean, the church scrambling and going on and stuff, trying to make stuff happen. You don't have to do that. All they got to do is just understand covenant and walk in it. The thing is, I'm repeating myself, because the church had never seen really the apostolic and people walking in this degree of covenant. And because I said that's two things that the church, the Western church really don't know much about. And that's covenant and kingdom, because they too hooked up on democracy, for the people, by the people. In the kingdom, the king rules. But God said, that's law. And then when it comes down to covenant, we more used to a contract, and we break them every day. It's not even worth the paper it's being ruled on. And I look at this in the body of Christ. There's so many pastors who divorced and that kind of thing and stuff. Now, I just want to throw out that to you. If a man can't be trusted to take care of his wife, how Christ gonna trust him to take care of his bride? How in the world, it don't make a whole lot of sense to me. How in the world a man could be married to a woman for years, and they have, three or four, five children with however many, all of a sudden they get a revelation, I married the wrong person. That's demonic. That ain't God. Because when two people stand up together, first of all, people got to know that, I mean, you already know when you stood up with your spouse, with the person that you married, you knew they wasn't perfect. Right. 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 You know you wasn't perfect. Right. Right. So ain't no sense you getting upset now, because things, you guys got to work on it. Right. Right. It's a job. Ministry, I mean, you understand? Marriage is a ministry. Yeah. And you got to work. Praise the Lord. And so, but you got to know it's a covenant. You got to know it's a covenant. You got to know that you got to do your part. God going to do his part, but you got to do your part. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So in that 25th chapter, in the 5th and 6th verse, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but he gave gifts to the sons of the concubines and sent them away from Isaac. Now, in the natural, a father will not leave an inheritance, for his neighbor's children. But his children's children, those of his own household, he will not and should not take better care of somebody else's children than he does his own. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, sometimes I just get upset. I get upset how sometimes Satan trying to wreak havoc and stuff in the people of God's life. I just tell him, I say, you here illegal anyway. Everybody that come into the earth got to have a mama. You don't even have none. So how you trying to undermine me? You operating illegally. And so by the blood of Jesus, get on up out of here. Sometimes you just got to get indignant with him. He ain't got no business. He don't have no business, trying to control your life and trying to put all these thoughts in your mind to make you go in another direction other than what God has said in his word. That's why we got to pay attention to the word. So covenant. So it's vitally important in covenant relationship that the parties to the covenant be on one accord as one man with a common agenda. If not, the covenant agenda will not be fulfilled. All right. So covenant relationships are incomplete if we choose different destinies in life. Look at the covenant between Jonathan and David. When David went to the caves of Engedi, Jonathan chose to return to his father's palace. Jonathan could have lived longer. Now, this is strong right here. Jonathan could have lived longer if he'd have stayed with David, because that's what the covenant was. That's why. Listen to me. That's why when people walk away from apostle, That's their loss. Y'all with me? And so you're not going to cause me to lose with you. I just like I told y'all last week, we might have came here together, but we sure not leaving together. Because, and I don't want to even hear why you left. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're not going to use that to pull me off. Because see, once you say it to me, Satan's going to use those words. See, words are seed. And that seed going to come up in your garden. The only thing about seeds need the right environment before they start springing up. Praise the Lord. All right. So what happens when somebody says something to you? All of a sudden, you get corrected about something. Then all of a sudden, the missiles start coming at you. He ain't like you no way. He been putting everybody in front of you. See, God'll allow you to go through seasons of testing. Yes, sir. To prove your heart or to prove your soul. Yes, sir. Are you really with what God is doing, or what's your motive for following? Yes. Were you following because of something? You know, some people, oh, Lord, have mercy. I've seen some people follow apostle because, you know, they wanted a singing contract. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You know, so they feel like, you know, if I get with apostle and get, you know, with that name that he has and stuff, I can, you know, do my thing. No. God will smash your plans. The Bible says many are the plans in the heart of a man, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. So now this is what I want to say, that Jonathan could have lived longer if he'd have stayed in his place where he was supposed, where God had put him. He could have lived longer, but he went back to his father. And see, if you look at Elijah, if you look at Jonathan, when Elijah got ready to follow Elijah, he said, let me go. I got to go and kiss my father, my mother. And you don't hear nothing about after he left them that he went back for their birthday or something. This man was so lost in doing what he was called to do that the scripture don't even talk about it. So with Saul, with Jonathan was supposed to inherit the throne, but Jonathan cut a covenant with David. He gave everything over to David that he had. He gave everything but his shoes. And it was a shame he didn't give his shoes. We're going to see in a minute. Also, when Jonathan and David cut covenant, Jonathan gave David everything except his shoes. As a result, watch this, future generation was crippled. And yet became beneficiaries of the covenant blessing. And over here in 2 Timothy with Mephibosheth. 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel. I'm saying 2 Timothy, 2 Samuel. 9. Chapter 9. Verse 1. It says, and David said, is there yet any? Now, see, this is what you got to see. This covenant. This is covenant right here. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. David has cut covenant with Jonathan. So he's looking for somebody who's related to Jonathan who he can show kindness to. And this word kindness, this is from the Hebrew, hasid. It's the equivalent of the agape kind of love. It's God's kindness. God's love and kindness. So he says that yet any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. He's talking about covenant here. He said, for whose sake? Jonathan's sake, right? And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, thou Ziba. And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there, look, he said again, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, or I might show the hasi, or I might show the love of God to unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son which is lame in his, on his feet. And the king said unto him, here he is. And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir and the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face. Now, you got to realize now, he's afraid because he really thinks David coming to kill him. Because, see, once a king was off the throne, then they would kill his whole family. Everybody, you know, you understand what I'm saying? And so now he really thinks that David is coming to kill him. So he's afraid. But he don't understand that David has cut a covenant with his father. And because he's cut that covenant, and though his father's dead now, David is coming to show him the kindness of God. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, when you understand covenant, you will understand that because of what Jesus did, there's no situation you can get in. That's no, you can go as low as the ground. And you when you understand this, you know that God will fetch you out of any situation that you could ever be in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't care how far you've gone away from God. God still love you. And when you understand that, you understand that that's love and that loyalty is there. And this man was fetched out. He was fetched out. And said, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Look at this boy coming into it. This boy was living in a mud hut. Don't tell me God don't have abundance for you. See, you can't tell me that. You can't tell me that because I know if God did this, and this was in the Old Testament, and we have a better covenant. If God did this, fetched this boy out and this boy was restored. All this stuff that his grandfather, his dad, them had, all this stuff restored back to him. Why? Because God made a covenant, and God can't go back on his word. According to Psalms 89, the scripture says 89 and 34, it says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that come out of my mouth. So God can't break what he said. Yes, so if I see it in the word while God said it, it belonged to me. Yes, it belonged to me. And I understand that I'm a covenant child and that what God has done in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to give me everything that pertains to the kingdom of God. Oh, man, we winners every time. So there's nowhere in the world you could be going through something and you thinking that you're not going to make it. The devil lied to you. You understand what I'm saying? Every day you ought to be looking for something good to happen. I say every day you ought to be expecting something always. That's why Satan sent so much negativity at your mind so that you can think another way. The Bible said in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Why are you thinking all them bad thoughts? He said, the thoughts that I think towards you, not evil. So why did you get the evil thoughts from? Satan gave them to you so that you would think that you're not going to make it, but you are going to make it. But all you got to do is just be in agreement, get your soul in control, you understand, and cause it to line up with your spirit. And guess what? You're going to begin to see everything God said. And one of the things is when you line up with this covenant, I'm telling you, the blessing of God going to run you down, overflow you, and there's nothing going to be able to stop you. Yes, sir. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. So just because you're going through that thing, watch how you come out in the end. It's not finished yet. Yes, praise God. Amen. Mm-hmm.